Welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
My name is Rob F. Switch.
This is the video game music podcast featuring third and fourth generation video game music.
And 3-4.
But yeah, three. Did you say number 3-4?
I said the old 3-4.
The old 3-4. You know, some DJs are on the ones and twos. We're on the threes and fours, right?
Yeah.
This is episode 215, and before we get to today's topic, do you have any top of the show business?
I got nothing.
Well, I have a few things here. Just a little bit about billiards. You know, we were talking about billiards last episode and pool and what the difference is. And I've looked into it, and billiards only uses three balls, and there are no pockets. And it's a game where you have to do these different sort of rebound shots and stuff, and you have to hit you have to hit both balls with one ball or something like that. You have to hit a ball and hit the other ball. You have to hit two balls with one ball and something like that. But there's only three balls, a red, yellow, and a white ball. And no pockets.
Is that where they have like the bumpers on the table, right?
I don't know, okay. But it's not about sinking balls, though. It's about hitting the balls. So that's just a little bit about billiards. I don't know. You can look up billiards. I was watching billiard championships, and it's interesting. I wanted to say a little something about, you know, there's these videos on the internet sometimes that are, say, worst video game music or something like that, or top 10 worst video game tracks or something like that.
Okay.
I think that, I don't like that. I think that's lame to do that, you know, because I don't know, it's all subjective, you know. So, and also, I don't know, I think that's kind of mean, you know. Also, on top of that, here's what I really don't like. Oftentimes on these worst video game music lists, they'll put Rad Gravity, the game Rad Gravity,
or The Adventures of Rad Gravity,
or whatever. Yeah, The Adventures of Rad Gravity. And that's it's the title screen music, and I don't think it's bad. Good. I think it's kind of cool, you know? I mean, I think it's cool. It's George Sanger, the fat man.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of funky and weird, you know? But it's not, I just think for that to be called worst video game music, there's so many, I mean, if you really want to know what bad video game music, I mean, there is definitely, there's boring tracks or things that don't, you know, there's, but I don't know. I don't like those videos, and I don't like that Rad Gravity is on those lists, you know? Rad Gravity is cool.
And the hate.
And the hate.
It's just kind of clickbaity.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's also,
it's just useless content.
It's also just negative, you know, for no good reason, really.
Yeah. What about, do you feel the same about, like, worst games of all time? Like,
you know, actually.
Because you're insulting a team instead of, like, a person?
Yeah. There you go, yeah. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we talk badly mm-hmm. about certain games sometimes here on the podcast, and I'm kind of thinking maybe we shouldn't even do that, you know?
What about TL?
I've grown to love that game.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because it's a puzzle game.
Yeah, because it's a puzzle game. Anyway, whatever. So, yeah, anyway, let's end the hate, you know?
Okay, taking a stance there.
Okay, so as far as me playing games, I finally completed Baba Is You, 100%ed it, finally. Yeah, I mean, this one took me 160 Ooh. Hours, and 30 of those hours were spent on one puzzle in particular.
How did you feel when you finished it? Did you feel like, dumb, like, oh, I should have had that? Or was it
No, I mean, I think there were some things that were really misleading to me about it that I understand why I didn't get it for so long. And but it does, I mean, it is kind of too bad it took me that long. But anyway, completed Baba Is You, and that's that. Also, something else I played through recently was I never thought I would do this, but the Shovel Knight alternative campaigns or whatever that you can play on Shovel Knight, meaning, so Rob, you and I played Shovel Knight together. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I played it again recently because I always thought to myself, you know what? I want to play this game by myself and see what that's. I want to just, you know, beat the whole game by myself, you know, because I shared the winnings with Rob before, and I just wanted to take it on by myself. So I did get it for the Switch, and what comes with it are these other games that are where you play as the boss characters. There's a couple of the boss characters. One of them is Plague Knight, you know, the one that has the exploding potions and stuff, and the other is Spectre Knight, the Grim Reaper one. And I was just having trouble with Baba Is You, and I kind of just looked at, I just thought, well, what are these Spectre Knight and Plague Knight games like? And I kind of just tested them out a little bit, because I kind of thought they were just going to be the regular game, Shovel Knight, but with these boss characters. But Spectre Knight is not that. It's a prequel, for one thing, so it takes place before Shovel Knight, and kind of explains what happens it kind of leads into what is going to happen in Shovel Knight. And also the levels have been very redesigned to accommodate the mechanics of Spectre Knight, and the mechanics of Spectre Knight are very unique and different and fun to play with too. Mm-hmm. So Spectre Knight operates very differently than Shovel Knight, and it operates in a really fun way, actually, you know. So it's really fun playing with Spectre Knight. Anyway, I played through the Spectre Knight campaign. Like I said, the levels, even though the themes of the levels are the same, mm-hmm. it makes sense, though, because it's a prequel.
Right.
And the levels are redesigned anyway, and the music is redone as well. So it's very much its own game. It's not like, it doesn't just feel like a gimmick or something, you know, right. where you just get to play through the game
like
as Spectre Knight.
A reskin.
Yeah, it's not like a reskin, yeah. So, anyway, I highly recommend Spectre Knight's campaign. I played through that, 100%ed it. Very good. I had a lot of fun with that. Spectre Knight's really good. I also played through and 100%ed the Plague Knight one as well. That one is more like a reskin, even though Plague Knight does operate, his mechanics are different. They're not as, they're trickier than... They're trickier than the Spectre Knight and Shovel Knight, the way he operates. I guess that one's not as much... To me, that didn't feel as much of its own game, you know, that because the levels are not redesigned, really. I mean, they are a little bit, but...
They look pretty... I played it a little bit.
It's
kind of samey.
It's, yeah, I mean, if you want a different experience, I really recommend Spectre Knight. Plague Knight, for the sake of having a different experience... I wouldn't recommend that as much, because it is very much like playing the other game, but it is different, though. There's a different story, mm-hmm. but and it kind of takes place at the same time as the Shovel Knight story, but Spectre Knight was a much more it was a more fleshed out story, and it was more it's kind of poignant too, actually, the Spectre Knight story. And Spectre Knight, really good game, actually. And really its own game.
Sure.
Yeah. So, anyway, I recommend that. I mean, if you haven't played Shovel Knight, that's a great game in itself. So, that's really great, too. Now, one other thing. User Toxic City / Ultima Sky emailed us and is thinking about starting a new podcast and had a bunch of questions. And I thought maybe we could answer these questions very quickly. So, and cool, you could help Gabe, actually.
Sure.
He was asking about, the reason why I thought we could maybe answer this on the show is because, well, we get this email.
Yeah.
We do get this email a lot about people who want to start a podcast and how we do it. And they want to know, one, what's the audio setup like and the recording like? Go ahead.
Well, probably because the remote situation makes it interesting.
I don't know if Toxic City is maybe cares about the remote thing, but
say you're not remote anything. It's easy. You get an interface. I have a Scarlett Focusrite. I don't remember which one, but it has four inputs. Just plug your mics into that. Music comes out of Brent's laptop into that. I actually use another Scarlett Focusrite just for that, because the converter in his older MacBook adds noise and stuff.
Yeah, and I actually only use this MacBook for playing video game music, because it plays video game music better than a newer computer, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think most people are going to be using an older computer, so that's the only reason I use a second interface. But basically, music out of your laptop straight into your main interface, couple mics. I use Pro Tools to record everything, but you can use anything. If you use a Mac, you know, Logic or Reaper or something on PC. But with Rob, I got him going through Skype, and I use a program called Mumble, which is, I guess, made for like TeamSpeak for like people who play like online games, you know, like. But I stream the music through that, through a program called Soundflower, and so Rob hears the music through this program Mumble. I just record his audio from Skype, and that goes right into my DAW Pro Tools, and that's pretty much it. I mean, it gets a little more complex, but I mean, I use Mumble because it's Rob can hear the music in stereo, and it streams faster. If you stream it over Skype, you only get mono audio, and it cuts out a lot, so I don't recommend that. Like, people try to stream music through Skype, and it's just not a good... It doesn't work, like, as well at all.
As far as licensing goes, music and stuff like that, you know, this... We're not, like, selling this music by itself. I mean, we do commentary, obviously, about the music, and if we make any money from this podcast, which is pretty much almost nothing, you know, it's we get some donations. It's really just to help run the podcast and help, you know, allow us to sort of curate and share these tracks. And really it's about sharing this music. We're not trying to make money off the music, really. So I would never feel comfortable doing that. So for that reason, I think licensing stuff is not an issue. And also it might even be considered fair use, because we're doing commentary over the stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And then also there's also something called a compulsory license, which you can look into, which kind of is sort of a workaround too if licensing is for some reason some sort of issue, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, that's basically about that, about as far as licensing goes, you know. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Hopefully that answers not just your questions, Toxic City, Ultima Sky, but anyone else who was interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know? I would never worry about licensing. I agree.
Yeah, I mean,
I've had people ask me, like, hey, is it okay if we play a track I made?
Yeah.
But I have also seen a few people play without asking, and I don't care.
Like, well, also, you know, I just
music
feel
that I don't own, by the way.
Also, I feel like the podcast format, it's not... It's kind of different. I don't know. I just think it's different than, say, doing it on TV. Now, there's been a couple times where I did want to use video game music as part of something that was going to be on TV. And for that, I did do some research and called some companies. And using the music for more commercial platforms, I guess, or in a more commercial context, you would need to do some kind of licensing thing. But to be honest, actually, it's not that expensive from what I was looking into, and it also wasn't one company's case, they actually were okay with me using the music for free, and they just wanted a credit for it or whatever. So but I think as far as podcasting goes, especially if you're talking about the music, and and people do this too, but we're not making albums of video game music and selling albums of video game music just on its own or whatever, as if they're records, even though people do bootleg records of things, you know.
Right, it's like the people who upload them to YouTube and then monetize them.
Oh, right, there's that as well. Yeah,
a lot of that. Yeah,
and if we do make any money from this podcast, it's really just really nominal It's really just
to keep the lights on.
Yeah, kind of a thing. Yeah, I mean, it's not trying to really profit off this music. Really, it's really the reason we do this podcast is to spread awareness about the music. You know, because the music is something we're just really passionate about, and I feel it deserves more of a spotlight than it has. Although it's starting to become more and more in the mainstream in a way. I mean, they're playing it on Stephen Colbert now, you know, on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, I guess, is it John Baptiste? Is that the name of the,
I think so.
The band leader, who's a very talented musician. I hope I'm getting his name right. He's very much into video game music, and they've been, the band on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert has been playing video game music tracks. I mean, they're pretty obvious tracks, you know, like Street Fighter 2 and Sonic the Hedgehog and stuff.
Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if they ever played anything a little more obscure, but probably not. But you know, it's video game music is making its way into, you know, the more general public spotlight, I guess. You know,
what would you do if they played Time Lord? Like, would you have to like contact them or something, right?
I'd have to play a Time Lord, I think. Yeah. But anyway, that's that. All right. Well, let's move on to the topic. I mean, I think video game music should be studied in universities. You know, that's kind of what this is about, this podcast. All right. So, okay, so the topic of episode 215 is role-playing games 3. Although our last role-playing games 2, which was 124 and 123 or 125 or something like that, that was a two-part. There was two episodes. Mm-hmm. It was two parts. So in a way, this is our fourth role-playing games episode. But you know, I don't know. It's installment 3, I guess. And so, yeah, we're going to do role-playing games. And, it's been a while since we've done a genre topic for an episode. But I guess I'll be starting it off. And I wanted to get some new titles into the podcast for this episode, stuff we hadn't heard from before. But I also couldn't help but return to some great soundtracks that we've heard from before. So, but I we're going to hear some stuff that from games we've heard from before. But I do have a few new titles to share as well. So, I guess I have a mix of old and new. Starting off with something new, we're going to hear from a game called Dark Kingdom. This is a Super Famicom release. And the composers on it are credited as Jimmy and Patty. And that's all the information I could get on the composers. And I don't know what their real names are or if that's just one person. I imagine it's probably two. But Jimmy and Patty. And we're going to hear Town from Dark Kingdom, starting things off on our role-playing games focus on the Legacy Music Hour. This is music from Dark Kingdom. This is Town. Music by Jimmy and Patty. And I'm going to start this over again because I like that intro, and it doesn't kind of repeat the intro, but it's got this very, sounds cool. It says, It's cool. There's something kind of something kind of minimalist about that in a sort of, you know, 20th century classical sense, you know. This part right here kind of sounds like a 80s kind of thing, you know? Almost sounds like The Cure or something like that.
Yeah. You know? Totally. It totally sounds like pre-disintegration Cure. You know, like, I forget the name of the album.
Anyway, that's it. Dark Kingdom.
Okay. How about some Genesis there? You want a cough drop there, Chief?
Well, sorry. I did get sick last week, and I'm just a little congested still, but I'm not really sick though. But I'm always getting sick this year.
Yeah,
I think it seems like you've been sick for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Allergies. Right?
I think it's black mold. I think I have black mold growing out in my body.
I once got very sick from. I got a 104 degree fever from black mold.
Really?
In my old apartment. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Could you see it?
No, because it was in the walls.
It was in the walls.
I was like 25, and I was out of my mind. Like, my girlfriend had to drag me to the hospital at the time, and
wow,
yeah, I had like the lung. I had a really bad lung infection.
Yeah,
like I could have died.
Wow. Yeah,
like, yeah, and
it
was in Port Town too, and we imagine there's a lot more moisture there, and it was kind of a crappy apartment, and you know that. It was bad, really bad.
Oh my gosh, maybe I'm kind of joking about having black mold.
Right.
But maybe there is, because I have been getting sick lately, and then I also feel like I've been, well, also, you know what weakens your immune system permanently?
Yeah.
So do you get sick?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It has permanent effects.
I get sick like once a year.
And I heard it affects your brain as well.
Really?
I don't know.
How am I even going to know?
Right, I know.
Jeez.
Anyway, I don't know what's up, but I have been getting sick a lot this year, actually.
Like, you really feel it in your chest, and you'll get like fevers.
Well, you should go have that looked at.
I did. The doctor doesn't know what to do. They just think,
right. I mean,
oh, here, take some Flonase, they say. Dude, Flonase, they say.
I have a lot of Flonase.
Okay, well, I got, maybe you need a little surging aurora in your life.
Well, maybe. Well, you
surging
mean...
Surging aurora.
I think you wrote that down incorrectly. It's aura. Aura.
Oh. Another Google correction.
Surging aura.
Sure it's not aurora?
Yes.
Surging aura.
Because I looked for surging aurora at first, looking for the game, and I couldn't find it. And then figured out it was surging aura.
Oh, something surging in your aura.
Yes.
Something surging in my aura. But
you were you're searching for aurora, but you're only going to find aura.
Right. Surging aura, Mega Drive. This here is the staff roll.
Thank you.
Surging Aura.
Yeah, that was good.
That is a Mega Drive track.
That's a good
composer,
one.
Composer,
Camo. And Camo. That's a good track. Mm-hmm. This part reminds me kind of Yoko Kanno's New Horizons.
Yeah,
the title screen, and then also parts of it remind me of Mario Yamaguchi a little bit with the bass sometimes.
This is a part that kind of reminded me of the Earthbound song.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
I think. This part.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Right?
This. Right there, Mario Yamaguchi also. It reminds me of kind of Super Ghouls and Ghosts a little bit. Oh, actually, also, and Magical Quest a little bit. The melody, yeah. So you got a lot going on there. Earthbound. Yeah, that sounds like Foresight. Metropolis of Foresight.
Which reminds me of a popular song. I don't remember what it is.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, it is. This is New Horizons right here.
Yeah. I love sort that soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, New Horizons. Yeah.
Endgame.
Let's just hear that one part again, the Earthbound part again real quick, and then also the Mario Yamaguchi parts. Coming up here, man. Right there.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, Mario Yamaguchi, the bass part, that bass thing.
Sure.
Doom, doom, doom. Yeah. Camo. Next up, we're gonna hear from Mystic Arc. Another new title to the podcast. Composer is Akihiko Mori. This is a Super Famicom release. And we're going to hear Threads of Memories. Mystic Arc. This is music from Mystic Arc for the Super Famicom. Akihiko Mori is the composer. Threads of Memories is the track. And obviously it sounds kind of like Chrono Trigger, but it's a cool track though. Got a cool bass to it, and it's kind of smooth. Kind of somewhat sexy in a way, you know? This part of it.
Yeah, very much.
I like when the bass comes in. It almost has a smooth jazz sound to it, you know?
It's kind of fretless.
Yeah, it sounds... well, no, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, it does. Yeah. I love that. That... Bow, 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 bow. This part's good right here. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Good melody. Good melody there. Yeah, good track. Good track.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna keep it going with some Langrisser 2.
Mm-hmm.
Langrisser 2. Rihanna.
I think the composer on this is Noriyuki Iwadare.
It's a nice little melody here.
Yeah, that's a nice, yeah, that's a nice track. There's an intro that doesn't repeat here. It goes. Kind of got a never ending.
Let me hit that intro one more time.
I like that. Kind of reminds me of Goonies 2. Goonies. Not Goonies 2. Goonies? I mean Goonies the movie. The movie, yeah.
I need to hit that one more time.
Yeah.
Three for. It's a beautiful tractor.
Rihanna.
She's nice.
Wait, does that count as that's nice?
I'm throwing you a curveball.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to catch it, though. Next up, we're going to hear from another Super Famicom game. It's kind of like we're just battling Super Famicom. It's like Super Nintendo versus Genesis over here, you know? Solid Runner. This is a game we have heard from before. I've played stuff from it in the past. The composers on this are Mitsuhito Tanaka, Toshiaki Sakoda, and Pure Sound. And we're going to hear Lyft's Garage, Solid Runner, Super Famicom. Thank you. This is music from Solid Runner, composers Mitsuhito Tanaka, Toshiaki Sakoda, and Pure Sound. And this is Lift's Garage. And this soundtrack, you know, it's a really interesting soundtrack. It sounds really something very kind of futuristic sounding about it, and it's kind of very cyberpunky for some reason to me. It has a cyberpunky sound, and I love this part right here. Dun, dun, dun. That's that part's cool, but this whole track
I like
is.
I like that it's in like 7.
Two. Oh yeah, it is. It.
I think. One, two. Yeah, I like that part.
Well, it's an interesting track. There's just some interesting rhythmical things going on, and sound design wise, and just. It's interesting.
Do you know that chirping almost sounds horror film-esque? I want to say I've heard something like in Halloween or something like that.
It's a Halloween chirp.
It's coming up. There it is.
Oh, that chirp, yeah. You hear that in Clock Tower also.
Oh, yeah.
You hear it in horror movies, you know? Yeah, it's a horror chirp.
I like that part.
Yeah.
Little synth.
It's interesting. Interesting track. Cool track.
In a way, it kind of reminds me of like modern like Trent Reznor, you know, like Social Network kind of
stuff.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right, yeah. Which is good, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had Atticus Ross.
Right. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Especially that part.
Uh-huh, right, yeah. Pure Sound.
I was thinking, I need a name like that.
What?
I just love that's the name, like, in contrast to the actual names of other people. This guy's just like, I'm Pure Sound.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, here, it's like, meet my friends, you know, this is Mitsuhito, and that's my other friend, Toshiaki. My name is Pure Sound. Okay, you got three bachelors. You've got three bachelors here on the dating game. You know, from Osaka, we have Mitsuhito Tanaka. From Tokyo, we have Toshiaki Sakoda. And coming all the way from Kyoto, we have Pure Sound.
I like that dating game. Okay. I would like to play a track from Maten no Sumetsu.
I think this one is new. I think this is new to the podcast. This game.
Let's go with a little Soul World. Soul World. Yeah. Soul World. Did you hear me say that 3 times?
I only heard you say it once.
Okay. The Soul World.
Now I've heard it twice.
Montanester Sumetsu.
The composers on this, it's the same team as Line Gris Earth 2, actually. Noriyuki Iwadare.
Iwadare.
And?
I'm waiting for you to say it.
Sao Mitsuguchi.
Mitsuguchi. I like finishing sentences with you.
Yeah, no, I like that too.
This is almost a classical style piece, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
Not really.
No, I don't know.
It's classical elements.
Okay, sure. I guess you could say that about every piece of music in the world, I guess.
Classical elements.
Like Smash Mouth?
Yeah, Smash Mouth has
classical
elements.
Instrumentation.
Well, there's notes, you know.
I'm not talking bad about Smash, I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Smashbox. All right, we're going to hear from... Okay, I'm going to change it up a little bit and go to PC Engine over here. We have heard this game on the podcast before. Makai Hakenden Shada. This is a Data East game, so the composers are Shogo Sakai, Masaki Iwasaki, Takafumi Miura, Seiichi Hamada, and... Oh, there's no two more. Yuji Suzuki and Yusuke Takahama, otherwise known as the
Data East Boys.
No, that's not what. Wait, is that a joke?
Yeah, because I said it before.
Yeah, exactly.
The Bad Dudes.
Yes. So yeah, the Bad Dudes coming at you again with Makai Hakenden Shada. We're gonna hear Field. And, you know, similar to the other tracker that we heard from this game that sounded kind of like, it reminded me of Bloody Wolf, this track also reminds me of Bloody Wolf, and here it is. Makai Hakenden Shada. This is Field from the Bad Dudes, Data East Boys, Shogo Sakai, Masaki Iwasaki, Takafumi Miura, Seiichi Hamada, Yuji Suzuki, and Yusuke Takahama. Like I said, got that Bloody Wolf sound, kind of. They do this thing where they kind of sound like rock or something, and then it becomes kind of jazzy in a way. Mm-hmm. This part, yeah. Mm-hmm. And coming up is such a Bloody Wolf move right here. Right here. That's some Bloody Wolf right there.
That reminds me of Battletoads.
Oh, really?
Like the title screen. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, okay, yeah. Now, this game, from what I can tell, seems to be... I only checked out a little bit of it, but it really seems like a... like an Ease ripoff. Because it's got a similar title screen sequence to Ease, and the gameplay looks like Ease, kind of. I mean, it's kind of an Ease. It's not exactly an Ease. I just want to look up one thing, actually. Because I feel like... I think I'm okay on this, but... yeah, okay. Just want to double check something, but anyway. Yeah, anyway, it's a cool track. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, actually, Rob, I think right now, maybe, because I think we're in sort of the middle of the show right now, even though, so maybe we should do Gabe's Corner now, or after we'll do Gabe's Corner now and then go to your track, I think, right?
All right.
It's Gabe's Corner time.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's my corner. It's my time. This track.
So what's in the corner? What's in the corner today,
I'll tell you
Gabe.
What's in the corner today. It's a game that I played through and beat recently, and in the last few months. It's Dragon View.
You've heard
from it before.
Yep.
It's really good, and it's also known as Super Draken.
Uh-huh.
It's somehow related to Draken, but barely. This is Frozen Corridors.
Uh-huh.
And it's from M. Takanaka, Mari Komatsu, T. Sakito. Frozen Corridors.
Okay.
Corridors and Dragon View.
Now that has some classical elements.
It sure does. Especially the organ. The organ breakdown.
I really like this is a track that I kind of had as a backup track from a while ago. Mm-hmm. I like the this is one part. Well,
the
coming
organ,
up.
Yeah. The next part.
Yeah.
Right here.
This. That. Bring, bring.
Yeah.
It's so subtly in the background, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah.
But it's this little. But I like that part. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little sparkle.
This has parts that don't repeat too, right?
Just the intro comes in differently. The drums are twice as fast. Yeah, this part, yeah. Right here, the drums are halftime.
Yeah. All this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts. Mm-hmm.
That's right. A little Castlevania-ish.
Hmm.
But I really like this game. That's a good part.
Bling, bling. part. This is the part right here. Oh, this part. It was in the beginning, yeah. But it's not.
The drums are.
The drums are, yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't do the brrring, brrring,
brrring. Right, right. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you, Gabe, for cornering that track today.
Sure.
You know who you always want in your corner?
The dragon.
Gabe Cube.
That's good. That's a good point.
The dragon.
Okay. 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 I'm going to switch it up. Super Famicom. I'm going to go with Albert Odyssey 2.
Okay.
Let's go with a little string off in the depth. Charming is happening, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Love that bass.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay. That's nice.
I'm going to play a track here from a game that we've definitely heard a lot from in the past. Mario Senki Madara 2 for the Super Famicom.
Okay.
Composers are Tapi Iwase, Miki Higashino, and Hirofumi Taniguchi. And Akihaka did some tracks for this, but I didn't do this. Definitely didn't do the track. I don't know which one of those composers I mentioned did this track, but it was one of them. And we're going to hear The Wandering Sculptures. Thank you. This is music from Morio Senki Madara 2. Music by Tape Iwase, Miki Higashino, and Hirofumi Taniguchi. This is The Wandering Sculptures. I like this part at the end here. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Kind of reminds me almost of the music to Fez or something, a little bit.
Sure, yeah, I can hear that.
Kind of, yeah.
He does a lot of that, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's also this sort of... Yeah, it's kind of new agey in a way, yeah. This is a new age track, actually. This part's good. It's kind of got this bendy kind of sound right here, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Madu Monogatari.
Madu Monogatari.
Madu. Madu.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. Maybe you.
Look. We're trying our best.
You did it. I mean? You did it right, I think.
I. No. Mega Drive track. I got a thing for him. Ending part two. Here we go. Hit me with it. Madu Monogatari.
The composer on this, I think, might be Tsuyoshi Matsushima, who I think did the Puyo Puyo 2 soundtrack, I think.
Can we hit that beginning again?
Yes.
Oof.
What does that remind me of? Yeah? Take you what?
Puyo Puyo? Does that remind you of Puyo Puyo?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it reminds me of Puyo Puyo, but it sounds like something, though. What does that sound like? What is that? Maybe Dynamite Heady. Are you going to say take me somewhere?
To the top of that staircase, please.
Oh, yeah.
Then throw me off. Take me to the top and just push me. Push me down the stairs. One more time.
Actually, you can hear the body hit the floor, too. Listen. Listen. Right there. You hear it? Hit it? You go like this. Ooh. You hear the hit?
Nice, very nice.
Well, up next, we're going to hear from another game we've heard from before in the past, Last Bible 3. I say this every time. Very underrated soundtrack, I feel like, because people don't really know about it. And it's so... The soundtrack's so strange because it doesn't sound like... the music in this game doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard in video game music of this era, really, anywhere else. And it's very weirdly hip, the music in this game. Hip, you know? And the music is by Hiroyuki Yanada. This is a Super Famicom game, by the way. And we're going to hear Skywing. And the music is so weird because it's so hip sounding. This one sounds kind of almost like, I don't know, maybe the Smiths or something. I don't know. It seems like there's a British kind of rock or pop influence on the soundtrack, I feel like. And kind of 80s and 90s sounding or something. Let's take a peek. This is music from Last Bible 3 for the Super Famicom. Music by Hiroyuki Yanada. This is Skywing.
Oh my god. It's so good. Here it comes. Here it comes. Dun 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 dun. Oh. It's beautiful. It's a little sad.
What did you say?
It's a little sad.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
I mean, this soundtrack is so weird to me because, like I said, nothing... It doesn't... I don't... The sound that this has doesn't... I can't... I don't hear that in any other video game music from this time, you know? And it sounds so British 80s rock pop kind of stuff. Like I said before, this kind of reminds me of the Smiths a little bit.
Yeah, that chorusy guitar especially.
Yeah. You say chorusy?
Well, yeah, like a chorus effect on the guitar.
It's like some kind of Johnny Marr style. And then, you know...
The other part sounds like something too, like a band I can't think of.
And then there's other tracks in this game that, well, there's one track that kind of reminds me of Susie and the Banshees, and so there's this 80s kind of new wavy sound, but also there's some 90s British stuff too that it reminds me of as well. You know, it's so weird. What a weird soundtrack. It's hip, like I say. You know, hip. There's something hip about the soundtrack in a way that I just wonder what's up with this composer and what he... I mean, he must have been into something different than other... I think he was into stuff that... I don't know. I think he was into some sort of... some stuff that I think his colleagues weren't into, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting if you think about just even the drum beat. And yeah, I don't know, the guitar, the way the guitar is used in this, in the soundtrack. And I don't know, it's interesting, yeah. Last Bible 3, very underrated soundtrack. You know, it's just, it's good. This Last Bible 3 is a really good soundtrack. Just heads up, you know, in case you don't know. In case you don't know about that yet.
Okay. Sorcerian.
Wait, yeah?
Oh, no, it's a little, like a little New Order-ish on that.
Uh-huh.
You know, like this, that reminds me of something he would sing. You know,
okay.
That kind of melody.
Yeah. Sorcerian, go on.
Sorry about that.
No.
Sorcerian. The Sorcerian section.
Yeah, were you... Did you...
As a Sorcerian section, baby.
Yeah. Is it a Sorcerian birth?
It's a Sorcerian birth. Yeah, they had to call in the wizard. They called in a wizard.
Oh, they cut your stomach away? No. They have a wizard come, yeah.
Yeah, the wizard came and he magicked me out.
He just transferred the baby out. He transferred you out.
So, where we meet, that's what I want.
Where we meet our mom after the cesarean birth.
Okay, where we meet, Sorcerian.
It's kind of tropical in the beginning. You know, the beginning part?
Yeah.
You hear that? What's this? Oops. You hear that? Mm-hmm. Tropical. Composer on this is Mieko Ishikawa, by the way. Track here from a game called, this is new to the podcast, Aretha 2, Ariel Nofushigi Natabi. Aretha 2, this is the sequel to, this is the sequel in the, or the second installment in the Aretha series, the video game series based around the legendary soul singer. And you know, in the first one, you know, you play as Aretha, and she's trying to get respect. Basically, sure. She's trying to get her respect, you know, trying to find respect. Mm-hmm. She gets it by the end of the first installment, and then in this second installment, she has too much respect, and she's trying to lose some of it.
Oh, wow. So
she's trying to lose the respect.
She, like, gives some to, like, Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's trying to give some to Rhea, exactly. So Rodney, she's trying to give some to Rodney. There's a character named Rodney in the game.
Oh, Rodney from Skate or Die.
Okay, yeah, Rodney, yeah, that's right. So, the composer on this is Tsuyoshi Tanaka, with the alias Chucky. Chucky. Chackey. And actually, those are all caps except for the EY. What's funny?
I don't know.
Chucky.
Chucky Khan.
Chucky Khan. And Futoshi Shimadera. And Kazuyasu Hiroe. Okay. We're going to hear Paint It Blue. And this track, it reminds me of Owen Pallett, who goes by the, you know Owen Pallett, he goes by the moniker Final Fantasy. He did in the past, he doesn't anymore, but it kind of reminds me of a song of his called Arctic Circle. You know that one? You know the He Poos Clouds album?
Yeah, I know that.
Right, so that's a good album. And the Arctic Circle is the first track on it, and I think this will might remind you of that. I think,
great.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you can hear. I'm talking to Trevor right now. I don't know if you could hear. You know, he was.
And I've just been going. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, this is music from Aretha 2 for the Super Famicom. Paint It Blue. This is Painted Blue from Aretha 2 for the Super Famicom. Music by Tsuyoshi Tanaka, Chucky, and Futoshi Shimadera, and Kazuyasu Hiroe. And, this sounds like the music to Harvest Moon, which is by this Chucky. Chucky did Harvest Moon also.
Yeah, it does sound like that.
This is the part that sounds to me a lot like Arctic Circle from He Poos Clouds. And Trevor agrees.
Yeah.
Just wanted to see if there was an intro part there.
Oh, I thought you were scratching.
Well, yeah, check this out. You couldn't tell that one.
DJ Weinbach on the threes and fours. Oh. Oh, man.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know. This is the sample, and you can rap over this if you want. Go ahead, rap over it.
Sitting with my boy Brent. That's all I got. Oh man, I don't have it in me today.
Yeah.
I don't
have it in me.
How about GabeCube? GabeCube.
Okay.
Nah.
You got bars?
Nah. I can't spit over
this. Is a little fast to be rapping though, to be honest.
No, then slow it down. Yeah. All right, whatever. We get the picture. Okay, we get the picture.
Okay. Treasure. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Treasure. Yeah. That's funny.
Let's see here. This is a Sega Genesis game. Let's go with title theme.
Okay. This might be new to the podcast as well, I think, maybe.
No.
No, it's not. No. Okay, never mind. Sure. I take it back. I take it back, and I apologize.
This is Shinobu Ogawa and Minoru Yuasa. We've heard from this before. In 2013, actually. Dang, okay. 2013 was a big year for me, and you know there's stuff going on with me now. This is crazy. That I didn't even know that this 6 years landmark was happening here. Wow. Yeah. Let's play the song title.
Good stuff or bad stuff?
Just look, man.
Just say bad stuff first. Just say it was bad stuff.
Oh, it was bad stuff.
Okay, so it's sort of a bit of a tragedy.
Oh, man. Oh, wait, you know what? Maybe I should go with the opening theme then.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, maybe title. You know what? It's going to be a surprise, and I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay, surprise time. Surprises.
Treasure. Title theme. Dang. That takes me back.
To episode 123?
Yeah, man. That was before it all went to the underworld. Crazy times, man.
The game that you played Soul World from, you know that?
Yeah.
What is that? Soul World.
Soul World was Mate no Sumetsu.
Okay. That had another track called World of Hell. World of Hell.
Wow.
So... Wow. That's kind of you know what you were kind of maybe alluding to, maybe.
Dun 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 dun. Yeah.
There's also Castle of Hell and Boss of Hell.
Boss of Hell. Life's gonna be alright, Brent. That's my message to all of you out there. Because once you have your kindergarten degree, there's nothing you can't do. A boy and his degree. Thank you to all the users that sent me kindergarten degrees.
We mean all of them? There's more than one?
Well, no, two. There's two of them.
Two people sent you degrees?
Well, the one online and then the one physical one.
Wow.
Actually, hold on, because that one, I sent it to the framers. It's going to get framed, so I don't have it with me. But, you know, I took a picture of it, and I sent it to you.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it.
Hold on, where is it? Because I want to give a shout-out. From user McDevitt.
Hmm.
And that's from Rochester, Minnesota. Yeah, we'll post that one up. But then someone sent me a kindergarten degree online as well. So that was more like a University of Phoenix kindergarten.
Right.
And this one is my Harvard degree. But back to the boss of hell, the castle of hell here. Like I told you, it's going to be all right, Brent.
Uh-huh.
Keep your chin up there, buddy.
Are you telling me that or telling yourself that?
I'm telling you that. I'm telling the users that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, when you point one finger, there's three fingers pointing back at yourself. Something like that. I don't know.
Something like that.
We kind of got through this episode pretty quickly, actually.
Not bad.
I mean, we played more tracks than usual, and we still got through it quickly. I mean, this is shorter than a lot of our episodes lately. We could have maybe played more tracks. Well, anyway, for a full track listing, check out legacymusichour.com. You can comment there if you like. You can also email us at legacymusichour@gmail.com.
281 Sonic 91. Somebody call me, please.
You can follow the Facebook page. You can, we've got on iTunes. If you go on iTunes and you like the show, you can rate and review it on iTunes. Or just rate it, even. Whatever.
Takes 2 seconds.
Yeah. And what else? I don't know, what else? What else? What else is there?
That's it. Exactly. What else is there?
I don't know. You got fisticuffs online here,
We'll make it happen, buddy.
Yeah, there's no Instagram or Twitter account for Legacy Music Hour, but Rob and I have accounts, Brent Weinbach and Fisticuffs, and Castro, Rob, and
Rob Castro.
Yeah, Gabe Castro.
Gabe J. Castro.
Gabe J. Castro.
I don't really use that.
Yeah, but
I browse.
You're browsing products.
I reply.
Stuff. So, yeah, that's what's going on up in here, okay? Hey, what are we going to do next month? Should we do another Beyond episode? Beyond Meat, or what? Should we do Beyond Meat?
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to do another Beyond
Meat? Let's do it.
This is for you, really, because I know you want to do it, but I guess I don't mind doing another Beyond Meat.
Yeah, I haven't.
And then maybe, that will be that'll be our last episode of the year before our best of the year in review countdown.
People love who knows, maybe there may be some in-studio surprises.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What, you mean for next month's episode or the one after that?
Yeah, for the one after that.
The one after that. I
yeah.
I. What is this from? What is that from?
I think that was a line. Well, I'd never watched Game of Thrones.
No, it's not from that.
Except for the last 15 minutes of the last episode.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, the good stuff.
And there was one character who was going, I.
No. I. What is that from? It's from something. What's that? Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you have to do it like that. Oh,
yeah, that's rotate it.
Okay, so look, you know what to do. Yes. Sorry, we're kind of taking a long time to wrap up here, huh?
It's the song. It's like it feels like
the end. It feels like the last time. It feels like the last episode ever. Yeah,
yeah,
totally. Exactly, yeah.
So you're just like taking your time.
Yeah, taking your time. Yeah, savoring the moment here. Thank you to all the listeners who supported us all over these years, you know, and we, you know, that's what it feels like, right? So
I miss you guys.
And you know, I guess
till next month.
You know, I guess we'll be we'll be ending the podcast.
Yeah, leave a comment or not, doesn't matter. Yeah. I guess we'll be deleting the site anyway.
We'll be ending it eventually, one day. Yeah. So, what else? Gosh, we didn't even talk about anything. What do we title this episode? Oh, I know, Role-Playing Games 3. That's what it is. So listen, this is who works on the show, kind of, you know? Or not just kind of. I mean, so we've got Gabe Castro, our engineer. And thank you to Gabe J. Castro for...
Rob Castro.
for being here. Trevor Ames hosts us here at the studio, and Emily Donnelly does the mixtapes. She's goes by Keyglyph. That's her thing online, you know, that's her accounts online, Keyglyph. She does the mixtapes, which churning them out these days, you know, they're coming out all the time, and we're gonna hit 100 mixtapes pretty soon. I think there's 95 out right now. 95. Dang. So, and we're at 210, so we're almost halfway at the halfway mark of the mixtapes, and that'll be the day when it catches up, huh? Wow. Imagine if the mixtapes are coming out the, you know, 2 weeks after the episode comes out.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something.
What about
huh?
the day where there's more mixtapes than episodes?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's more mixtapes. Yeah. That'd be crazy.
Mixtapes of the mixtapes.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Wow. You know what? Mixtapes can then start... You could start doing some other interesting things like...
Well, talking only.
Oh, talking only mixtapes. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Just come back around. Yeah, wow. Those are real... Those we should monetize full on, you know? No music? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so I think that's about it. All right, fine, fair. So we'll do another Beyond Meat episode coming up next month. All right. You'll probably be hearing a Baba Is You track in that. Anyway, okay, so we'll be closing today with another game that's new to the podcast called Dual Orb. And this is the composer on this is Lucky Seven. That's the alias. And this is a Super Famicom game. And we're going to hear Deserted Village. I just want to look through this. I think that I didn't play a single... I didn't play a single North American release track. It was all Japanese only. We're going to hear Deserted Village. And this just has a classic sound to it. By classic, I mean this sounds like a classic role-playing game piece of music. I mean, it's just classic sounding. You know, it's got this just classic sound from a role-playing game, from a video game. And then it also has a little bit of a sort of, Middle Eastern or Arabian kind of Knights kind of sound to it at a certain point that sounds like an adventure. Just, this is just classic sounding. This is a classic sounding track. Deserted Village, Dual Orb, Lucky Seven. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I'm Rob F. Switch.
The name of the program is The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.